The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50pm with Darren Owen, James Millman and Gary Capewell in the studio. We have two meetings in the afternoon, one on the all-weather from Lingfield and jumping from Musselburgh. We'll finish the day with the usual all-weather evening on a Friday with Wolverhampton and Dundalk filling those berths. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Ben Bramley. How are you, Ben?
Hi, Mike. Yes, fine, Fettle, thank you. Great to be back in the studio and looking ahead to Friday's racing. It's going to be a long day, isn't it, on Racing Radio there with Dundalk as well, and such an early start, but I'm sure the lads will be right up for it and hopefully find a few winners.
Yes, although I suppose they'll be quite thankful of a 12:50 start rather than 11:50 that we'll be
having. Yeah, I guess so, yeah. It's that time of year, isn't it, where you've just got that crossover in terms of times, and of course, Dundalk always goes on to 9:15 on a Friday, so plenty to go at, but it's what keeps the show on the road, isn't it?
It is, and we'll obviously be hearing from Andy Holding. He's our resident Dundalk expert as well. So.
He came back on form last week, didn't he? He cut one in the 7 furlong race that had backed up a really good performance in lower class the time before. 4-1 into 2-1 that Andy put up as his nap last week when he was in the studio. So he's certainly in fine nick himself.
Yes, so we'll hear from him. Let's talk about a few news stories before we get stuck into the racing on Friday then. And we can start with one. Well, we can start with a few looks at the Cheltenham Festival, I suppose, Ben. We saw first instalment running on Thursday. And you think it's a decent enough prep run?
Yeah, you've got your first instalments and your last lieutenants mixed up there. It's last instalment, of course, wasn't it? And first lieutenant, who are the two main strings to the Jigginstown bow now, with Cé Deschamps being out for the season. And a really satisfactory performance, I thought, in the Kinloch Bray Chase there, Mark. Travelled really well throughout the race, absolutely tanked through the race, jumped really well, particularly on the last circuit there, but just gave best after the last to Texas Jack, who in turn had travelled supremely well himself, and Bailey Green just rallied to get second close home. Bailey Green, of course, was second in Simon Sigg's Arkle, and Texas Jack's a decent tool in his own right, so that's decent form for my way of thinking. If you go back 2 years, Mark, last instalment was well fancied for the RSA and was probably the top Irish novice at that time. Don't forget it walloped first lieutenant in, I think it was the PJ Moriarty. So this is a good horse. I'm intrigued to see William Hills have kept it at 50-1 for the Gold Cup, because if it comes out of the race in decent nick in terms of its health, it's one that I would be interested in at a price.
Okay, 50-1 then. Maybe get on now. It might shorten if a few people catch on to that.
Well, I thought it would, Mark, on the back of that performance. I thought it was a really satisfactory effort. I do think it's the sort of horse that you just want to see how he comes out of the race. We know what it's like there, 2 years off. You know, he's had problems, I think, with his tendons, so it's how he comes out in his box in the morning. If we get an upbeat report from Philip Fenton, all systems go for Cheltenham, you'd like to think, wouldn't you?
Yes. At the moment, Ben, do you have an opinion on the Gold Cup near the top of the market?
I do, yeah. I mean, the top ones are pretty much bomb-proof, aren't they? Bobsworth and Silvagnaco Conti. Clearly, they're the two to beat. Q Card is a fascinating runner, given the question marks around his stamina, but the way that he jumped round there in the Ryanair last year and walloped a good horse in his own right, first lieutenant, who's the fourth favourite here, hugely intriguing race. Bobsworth is going to take all the beating, but I can maybe see a surprise this year, Mark. Last instalment, genuinely, is a horse that interests me if he comes out of the race in decent nick on the back of the Kinloch Bray there on Thursday. Have you got a view yourself?
Yeah, I have. I think Bobsworth is unoriginal. He's the favourite, but I think he's just one of those horses that could rack up a sequence of Gold Cup wins. It just suits him so well. I'd be keen to take on Q Card.
Yeah.
I can't see him staying up that hill after.
Well, of course, there was all the conjecture about the race at Haydock, which Q Card convincingly beat Bobsworth. He was beaten coming in the straight, and Dynast was second, about what distance that race was actually run over.
Yeah.
Because there was serious question marks about Bobsworth before the run, the Lexus over at Christmas, wasn't there?
Yeah.
But he bounced back and proved that that was a mishap at Haydock. Q Card, meanwhile.
I don't think Haydock was ever going to suit Bobsworth, though, the kind of running style he has.
No, it was a pretty tight circuit, and if it was less than 3 miles as well,
yeah,
which is what many people think, then that would make it even more difficult. The Q Card angle, I guess, is that he looked all over the winner two out in the King George. Dodge, but then he was swamped pretty quickly by Salviniaco Conti, although he wasn't losing any ground on the run to the line after the last, which I think Colin Tizzard's pointed out. So it looks like being an absolutely prime Gold Cup. I think Bobsworth's a little too short to be backing at 2-1 at the moment. He's the sort of horse that the bookies will be out to lay on the day, and you'll probably get a bigger price. I think you could say the same about Salviniaco Conti. But if you want to look at horses with the potential to shorten, I think you could do worse than look at Last Installment.
Okay, Last Installment, and an early anti-post pick at the Gold Cup. Let's look at a few others at Cheltenham. The World Hurdle is shaping up to be one of the hottest races of the festival. And we'll learn more after the Cleve Hurdle, because we'll see Big Bucks back in action. We'll also see at Fisher's Cross, who's got something of a retrieval mission on his hands now. We've got the likes of Annie Power in there, who if she goes to the races, could be anything. More of that, another one with massive potential.
Yeah.
You've got proven performers in there as well, like Rev de Civil, that you know are going to stay the trip and run their kind of race. It's a really intriguing renewal.
Yeah, I'd say it's a double retrieval mission for At Fisher's Cross. I was at Newbury when he jumped absolutely appallingly there in the race run by Celestial Halo, and he didn't jump any better at Ascot before unseating AP McCoy at the last. This is one of those races that really sets you salivating for me, Mark. I think the two races at the Cheltenham Festival this year that are of huge interest, if all these protagonists take their place, are the World Hurdle here and the Champion Hurdle. You know, you've got Big Bucks. We'll find out a week on Saturday whether he's as good as he ever was, and that is a really warm Cleve Hurdle, isn't it? More of that's come from absolutely nowhere. I think one first time out, was it Weatherby this year?
Yeah.
More of that. I think beating a horse of Kim Bailey's 12 Roses, if memory serves me correctly there. So this is you always get this, don't you? A horse that springs from absolutely nowhere, and more of that is that horse this season. I think it was the Outsider of JP McManus's at Folkestone when it won first time out.
Yeah, AP McCoy got off, well, didn't ride that. He chose to ride for Warren Greatrex.
That's right. So this horse came to Weatherby, and not many people knew what it was all about second time out. I think it was the last race on the card, and the two came well clear. It looked like 12 Roses were going to win jumping the last, but more of that outstayed that horse. So it's just been so progressive since. I'm sure when it was 20-1 at Folkestone first time out, Connections didn't envisage they'd have a World Hurdle horse on their hands later. But such is their horse marching through the ranks that that's exactly what they've got. So it's a watching brief. I hate to take watching briefs when it comes to punting, but that Cleve Hurdle is going to tell me where my pennies are going in the World Hurdle, I think, Mark. But what a race it's shaping up to be.
Yeah, will be very informative. And I'm really interested in more of that, because the way he won at Haydock as well, the race was an absolute crawl. It wasn't. He needed the pace to aim at, and he still quickened away. Coming towards the second last, I thought he's got no chance here, and he still quickened up to win that one, and then impressive again at Cheltenham. Didn't even come off the bit, did he?
And that was a warm race, you know, the one at Haydock. There was any number of fancied horses in that race. The Henderson horse that came second, that had come over from France. What's the name of that? Blue Fashion, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Special Catch was well fancied as well. I know Craig Forsyth had a line for that one and really fancied it. That race was red hot. But yeah, stamina in abundance there, showed it after the last, and won a bit cheekily, in much the way that AP McCoy does cajole these horses home. I know people say he gets stuck into them, but that one only won narrowly, but it had oodles in hand, didn't it?
Yeah, and the win at Cheltenham, when he was coming up the hill, AP didn't really touch him, and after the race he made an interesting point that he kept him upside to the second on that occasion, Salubrious.
Yep.
Just because it was in front of a big crowd at Cheltenham for the first time, and if he got out clear in front, he could have wandered, and he just teaching the horse as well, which
it's a great educational point, isn't it? If you think about when that horse went to Weatherby first time out on the back of Folkestone, Mark, you would think it wants to win cheekily just to keep its handicap, Mark, low. But now they're getting into a point where they're educating the horse, and they're firing it into grade one company because it's progressing so fast. They're still managing to educate it, but it's leaping through the ranks, and who knows where that'll end. We'll find out soon enough, won't we?
We will. The Cleve Hurdle will be a big clue for that then. The other race of the meeting at the moment, the one that's really shaping up to be a real cracker, the one that you've already mentioned as well, the Champion Hurdle, 3-1 joint favourites, Hurricane Fly and the new one. My 10 to yours is 4-1, Jesky 7s, Our Connor 7s, Annie Power 10s if she goes to the race. Under Sue's, the Willie Mullins one that could turn out to be the surprise package, that's 12-1, and then 33-1 barring those. You could state a case for the first seven there, couldn't you?
You could absolutely state the case for the first seven. Underscrew, I know it didn't beat anything. It ended up being Akatara that was second over the weekend, didn't it? Such was the gallop that he set. But I like the way that Connections are talking about this one, you know, but he will have to be exceptional in what is a really, really warm year, isn't it? I'm ashamed to say, Matt, that I've never been a huge Hurricane Fly fan.
A lot of people aren't, are they, bizarrely?
It is bizarre, because I've never really understood it myself, why I'm not a big fan. And now I feel bad about that, given what he has done. What is it? What are we on to now? 19? I'm losing touch with the number of
19
these.
19 grade ones or 18.
Grade ones.
Maybe,
This renewal is a whole heap better than last year's, isn't it? I think it's fair to say. So he's going to have to record a performance to me in the mid to late 170s to win this particular race. I think he recorded a performance around about 170 last year. But these are genuine pretenders that we're talking about here. The new one, My Tent or Yours. I'm not so keen on Jezky. He was getting tapped for toe, wasn't he, when he got trapped in last time. He just didn't seem to have the foot. Our Connor, I'm not convinced about either. I'm not sure if he'll come on for that one. I would be more interested in Underscore the Outsiders. But what's your view on the My Tent or Yours and the new one? Little argument there.
Well, I suppose if you're looking at it, you'd say the new one doesn't make the mistake at the last. He wins. But I think a lot of credit has to go to My Tent or Yours for sticking in there, because he was right on the coattails of the new one. AP McCoy breathing down the Twist and Davies neck. I think that forced the error rather than anything else. And
huge credit marks. A lot of people crabbed his finishing effort last year behind Champagne Fever and the Supreme Novice. And he pulled so hard. I just don't think he had anything left. And Champagne Fever was so resourceful there. I'll tell you one thing that I think about this race. The new one got outpaced in the Neptune last year coming by the hill when Pont Alexandra kicked. I have a real concern that the new one will have the pace for 2 miles in a championship race round Cheltenham. Admittedly, he'll be staying on Best of All. But I think My Tent or Yours may have the better tactical speed for this race. And I don't subscribe to this theory that I've heard people say that he didn't handle the undulations last year. He just got outstayed by Champagne Fever on the day. A lot of people expect the new one to turn the tables with My Tent or Yours. I don't subscribe to that theory. I think he's got more speed, My Tent or Yours, and will beat the new one. But will either of them beat Hurricane Fly? What a race. Really, look, that is the race of the festival. If they all line up, we'll all be absolutely buzzing come race time for that corking race.
Yeah, there'll be clues for that in the next week or so as well, won't there? Because there's the Irish champion where Hurricane Fly takes on Jezky, and I think Our Connor might be in that race as well.
Yeah,
so
I've been quick to call Jezky and Our Connor there, haven't I? You know, with a really fast gallop, Jezky maybe. You know, he was in the Supreme Novice. He missed the last two flights last year. Otherwise, he would have been right on the coattails of Champagne Fever and My Tent or Yours instead of the length or two that he was off them. And Our Connor, he does probably deserve another chance given the way that he routed the field in the Triumph Hurdle last year. But when you consider that those sort of horses are 7-1 at the moment, tells you the depth and strength at the top of the market, and this Underscore that's such a dangerous floater there around about the 12-1 mark. Corking race, no question.
Yeah, shortened as well, Underscore. It was 16-1 earlier on in the week. That might have been before the weekend though, of course, but wide open. I can't wait for Cheltenham already. There's a few races that really stand out.
Every year you tend to find that we're all looking forward to a race and something drops out that just takes away that little tingle. But even if you lost one or two runners from this champion hurdle, you've still got an absolutely tremendous renewal, haven't you? You'd say the same about the World Hurdle as well. I think it does need big bucks for that spice. But no, what a superb race to look forward to.
Okay, well, we mustn't talk about the Cheltenham Festival anymore because we still have 2 months to talk about that. Let's concentrate on matters a bit closer to hand, Ben. Friday's racing, and you've gone to Musselburgh for a few of them.
Yeah, I've gone to Musselburgh. It's a track that I do like. I think it's one of those tracks in Scotland of which there are many that put a lot into their racing. I don't know if you've been to Musselburgh, but the facilities there are absolutely superb, and they're getting better and better races all the time. You know, one of the races that we're looking at here is a 0-130 handicap hurdle, and then you've got a 0-140 chase after that. So you're getting better racing all the time at Musselburgh. It is a track that sells out, of course. It's Ladies' Day fixture in summer. You know, they're battening down the hatches there very early in terms of ticket sales. So have you been to Musselburgh?
I haven't, no.
I'd certainly recommend a visit. The facilities there are absolutely superb. And on Friday, we've got another good card, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And we're going to look at three races, the first of which is the 215, which is a mare's novices hurdle over 2 miles, a class four novices hurdle. And Brijomi Queen, likely to be quite popular in the betting, but do you think that, well, likes around the course and distance, but do you think there are risks attached with this probable favourite?
Well, I would say so. 3 runs ago was beaten 65 lengths behind Legacy Gold, but that was a class one bumper, wasn't it? Did win at Musselburgh over this course. That run behind As I Am is a respectable run, you know, because it was bang there 2 out. It was a day that I was there. As I Am went away again in what was a good standard race. This is clearly a drop in class, isn't it, for Brijomi Queen? So I would say that it does set the standard. It could be a good sort of ride here for Dennis O'Regan, in my view, Mark. I think this is the sort of horse. He certainly sets the standard anyway, or she sets the standard, rather.
Okay. Are you siding with her, or would you be keen to look for something else?
I think so. If we just have a little plough around the form here. Maison de Ville, I think AP McCoy's riding that one for the superb trainer David O'Meara, yet to get its head in front, but has shown promise and has gone off favourite three of its five starts so far. That has to be of interest. Similar Claudanti, who's won two of its four starts, 1 point to point, and first time conventional race at Bangor in a National Hunt flat there, beating Shantara Rose. So clearly they're dangers as well, as is Morning with Ivan, who ran a good race when favourite behind Red Four in a decent hurdle at Doncaster last time out and has only beaten a short head before that. So this is a competitive race of its type, I think, Mark. A mare's novice hurdle, you tend to find there's not a lot of depth. But those top four or five that I've talking about there, plus Rathbone Bell, make it a competitive heat. But I am going to side with the top one here. Was planning its trade in a very decent race at Newbury last time out. This is a clear drop in class. And I think that she'll be the one to beat. Brijomi Queen for Nicky Richards and Dennis O'Regan.
Yeah, okay. Can understand where you're coming from there. That race at Newbury, much warmer than, well, much better than this. And the form of that Muscle Ruin as well. The horse finished third, the Malcolm Jefferson horse, Retrieve the Stick, has since won twice. So
yeah, it's a funny old horse, Retrieve the Stick, yeah. Isn't it? Because it's one of those grey horses with the blinkers and it lops about a bit, but it certainly found its form. I think one of those races was at Kelso, wasn't it, that Retrieve the Stick had won, albeit in a very small field. So yeah, it's been form. The form's been frank there, hasn't it? So that's another reason, I guess, to be on the side of Brijomi Queen, isn't it?
Okay, Brijomi Queen then in the 2.15. The next race we go to is the 2.45, which is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles. 9 of them in the lineup in this, so you can probably find a nice little each-way angle into the race, Ben. But I suppose Sky Khan's going to be of interest and probably near the top of the betting, where's the blinkers for the first time, but has been in pretty decent form anyway.
Excellent form, yeah, and that form was franked as well last time out. Sky Khan won at Sedgefield, beating Hit the Top by 3¾ lengths. Is £6 higher for this particular assignment, but Hit the Top, of course, backed up by winning last week at Catterick, so that form's had a good boost. It's always had a it's always been a horse held in decent regard, this Sky Khan. It went off at 11-2 and was really well backed for a warm juvenile hurdle at Ascot in April last season, and it's one I've had an eye on ever since. It was really heavily backed when it was beaten at Aintree the time after that. It did take till Utoxeter in July before it came good, but has a really consistent profile since then. Second at Epsom on the flat, second at Galway when it went over there to the Galway Festival meeting as well, and of course beat Hit the Top when a very short price last time out. So this one will take the world of beating, I would say here. Dennis O'Regan again in line for a quick fire double, you might say, Mark.
Okay. You think that one will take the world of beating, though? There are others in here you can make a case for, Ben. One that just caught my eyes is Discovery Bay, because hit the crossbar a couple of occasions. A little bit disappointing last time, but AP McCoy doesn't necessarily team up with Brian Ellison all that often, and I remember last week he got on one and that one as well, so they've gone to the champ.
Yeah, Brian Ellison's forming horses in prime form as well, aren't they? I was at Catterick last week when he landed a treble, I think it was, and I think he was on the first one of those, wasn't he? AP McCoy rode the first winner, whose name just escapes me there. But Discovery Bay, he's not ridden that horse before. A horse that was probably a little disappointing earlier in its career, but did clock some good times. Remember Andy Holding being keen on this horse a couple of times around Dundalk, but since it's come over here, it's done really well. Probably the only couple of blots on its copybook were an effort when it was 7th at Catterick and 7th at Ascot, but beyond that, compiled a really good sequence of places and wins. And of course, AP McCoy can only be a positive for this particular horse, Discovery Bay. But with AP McCoy on it for Brian Ellison, it might just be a tad shorter than what you'd think, Mark. I think he might just help to make the market here for Sky Khan, who will probably be the selection. Another dangerous one there. Clever Cookie, who's completely unexposed in this race. It's had four runs in this country and has won at Musselburgh before. It won its bumper at Musselburgh and has also been second to Franciscan in a novice hurdle here as well. So that could be quite a dangerous horse. Perhaps untapped potential, an official rating of 115 could be better. But I'm going to go with Sky Khan, who's got an official rating of 125. Travels well through its races. I think he might just be a bit, little bit better than these. First time blinkers, Sky Khan will do me, I think.
Okay, Sky Khan in the 2.45. And on to the 3.20 we go then. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. And Drumlang, Ben, arrives here in splendid form. Absolutely bolted up at Leicester last time.
Very much so, yeah. Will Kennedy in the plate there, and he retains the partnership. Beat Roc de Guy by 11 lengths off a mark of 108 and races off 115 this time. So it's fair to say, if in the same form, Mark, in walloping that horse by 11 lengths, that must go well. But this is a warm little race, you know. We talked about Musselburgh having improved kind of races. This is a 0 to 140, and there's any number of dangers in here. A horse that I've always had a bit of a soft spot for, but to me as a serial soft finisher, is Mr. First. Who's ridden by Richard Johnson on Friday, tends to travel really well in sweet races but often doesn't find, but it's the sort of horse that might just appreciate nipping round a track like Musselburgh, so I'd keep a beady eye on that because he might just be a fair enough price. And another horse, and we're going for a bit of value in this race I think, is this An Eye for an Eye for Malcolm Jefferson, whose horses have been in absolutely superb form right over Christmas and into the new year, haven't they? Been a bit disappointing this year, but did put together a nice little sequence of 1-2-1-1 in the back end of 2012 and in the spring of 2013, tailing that by beating Chartres 8 lengths at Perth of 1-2-7. A few disappointing performances, now back to 1-2-5, this An Eye for an Eye, and I still think this horse has got a little bit more to give. So while Drumlang definitely sets the standard here on that walloping of Roc de Guy at Leicester, there's a couple of dangerous floaters in the shape of Mr. First and An Eye for an Eye. So I think I'm going to take those two against the field as something a little bit more adventurous this time. Anything take the eye for you?
I was just looking at Storming Gale, who won at Ayr last year off only a pound lower than the mark today, so only a pound higher here this afternoon at Musselburgh. Signalled that he might be getting back towards form as well last time. A second at Musselburgh behind Kiligo Lane, which doesn't look too bad. The Donald McCain runner's starting to get back into form, and I don't know, maybe that could run well if you can get an each-way price.
No, you can see that, definitely. His runners tend to do really well. I think he targets many of his horses at Kelso because some of his prime owners live in the vicinity of that track, but he certainly has a good record at Musselburgh too. I forget the name of the one that I backed last week that jumped absolutely appallingly in a four-horse race for him around the track. Actually napped it and it ran terribly. But yeah, getting back to this one, it's a mark horse really, isn't it? It was second, beaten 3.5 lengths behind Keely Galane. He's having another go over a shorter trip this time. Tongue strap applied, Jason Maguire doing the steering as is the norm for the yard, and should go well. But I'm going to go for a couple of live ones here, a couple of live outsiders maybe, to beat that one and to beat the likely favourite Drumlang.
Okay, let's have a quick summary of your selections then, Ben, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your choices for Musselburgh one more time.
Competitive little mare's race there, the 2.15. I'm going to go for a Bridgomi Queen, but any number of dangers there. A very good race of its kind, the 2.15. The Cosmic Case Mare's Novices Hurdle. Spinning over the 2.45 again, I'm heading towards the top of the market, or certainly likely to be at the top of the market, this Sky Khan, who beat Hit the Top last time, and I think might just back that one up in the 2.45. 3.20, I'm going for a few more outrageous darts in this one because we're not looking at the head of the market as it stands at the point we record. We're going to go for An Eye for an Eye for Malcolm Jefferson and take that bridle horse, Mr. First, to perhaps come good. Not the sort of the horse you want to be backing all your pennies on, but when he comes good, you'll certainly get a thrill out of it. Will it be Friday? Mr. First in the 3.20.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Ben. Enjoy on Friday.
Cheers. Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ben Bramley on Friday's racing at Musselburgh. Then you'll hear that and the rest of the day's racing from 12:50 PM on Racing Radio. Darren Owen, James Millman and Gary Capel will be your team in the studio. Lingfield and Musselburgh in the afternoon, Wolverhampton and Dundalk throughout the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.